Hey, welcome back to Live from Seattle. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we are joined now by Senator Chris Gildon from Puyallup, seeking the legislature support in an effort to mitigate damage being done by Washington's highest in the nation's gas prices. I tell you, my goodness, we're so glad the senator's with us. Senator, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
So let's kind of get right into it here. Certainly a lot of people frustrated by what's happening, not only with gas prices, but in fact, the Seattle Times today had an article particularly about Seattle, that one in three Seattle residents are thinking about moving, and a lot of it's because of just the cost of living, and that the state of Washington wants to continue to make it very difficult to live here for middle and lower income people. Can you tell us what's happening in the state of Washington right now and why it's so difficult?
Yeah, well, specifically regarding this, you know, I'm sure that you're very well aware of, we just earned the dubious distinction of having the highest price of gas in the nation and the third highest in the nation for diesel. And a lot of this came about a few years ago whenever a bill was passed. It was the cap and tax bill, cap and trade as they like to call it, whereby companies that emit carbon would have to buy carbon credits in order to emit the carbon. And then there would be a series of auctions throughout the course of a year where they could purchase those credits. And it started off with estimates that said it was going to be around $20 a credit. And then at the very first auction, they came in at $48.50 per credit. The second auction, that jumped up to $56.01 per credit. Now, that's obviously having an increase, that's having an effect on gas prices. In the first two auctions alone, it's raised $857 million. And I think we all know that whenever we increase the cost of doing business, that cost is going to be ultimately taken in by the consumer of that product, and in this case is gas. And so the legislature is not in session right now. The legislature is not going to be in session until January, and I don't have any inkling of a faith that the governor would call us in for a special session to address this issue with the rising gas prices. And so I just started thinking about what are some ways that we can help mitigate the effects right now. And so started doing a little bit of reading through the bill and found that the legislature gave the Department of Ecology a number of levers that they can adjust in order to mitigate auction prices. And so I just put together a list of all of those options that are available and that the agency can make all by their own through their internal rulemaking. No legislative effort needs to happen. And I sent that out to lawmakers just yesterday, asking them to sign on to this letter encouraging Ecology to adjust some of the levers to try and reduce the cost of gas. I plan to deliver that letter on July 11th. I'm going to be collecting signatures between now and then. I've probably gotten well over two dozen signatures so far, and I'll continue doing that. But, you know, we've got to do something now. We can't just sit back and wait until January to try and do something.
Have you gotten any signatures from Democrats?
I've gotten one, actually.
All right, who's that?
I'm gonna definitely try and get a few more.
Yeah, who's the Democrat that signed on?
I'll probably want to keep him
keep it
on hold
under the lid
now, because I'd hate for people to be reaching out to him trying to strong arm him and ask him to remove the signature.
Yeah. And so what could this do, Senator? I mean, can you walk us through the process of what these kind of mitigation efforts could do?
Sure. And it gets really complicated and wonky very fast. So I'll just keep it very simple. I walked you through how the prices have been going up at the auctions. That tells me that there is a lot more demand for those credits than there is supply of the credits. So we can do a number of things to increase the supply of credits to meet demand and reduce the cost. And then also there's an implementation period whereby these companies have to reduce carbon levels over time. It's a pretty aggressive schedule, so they could very easily just elongate that timeline in order to make compliance easier and reduce costs. There are some other things that they can do. One of the most immediate things that they should have done a long time ago is, according to the bill, it's supposed to have exemptions for agricultural and maritime users in order to, you know, because we've got to do trade, we've got to have farmers out working in the field. But they've never actually implemented that system of exemptions. So we need to get that going as well, because, you know, anytime that we increase the cost of farming, we increase the cost of driving goods back and forth to the market. Well, that not only are you paying more in gas, but you're paying more for the things that you buy.
Mm. Yeah. Best estimates right now are that this new carbon legislation is costing us what, 45 cents per gallon? Is that about right?
Yeah, about that. That's about right.
And is this speculative? Because, you know, we talked to you know, this University of Washington professor last week. What was his name? Adam. What was his name? I forgot his name. But he, you know, he talked about that. Well, this is all speculative. Really, no one knows. And he really downplayed the fact that this carbon legislation is really to blame for this spike in gas prices right now.
Yeah, I know. I hear a lot of people saying that the oil companies are just gouging consumers and they had maintenance on a pipeline and all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, just think about it. Our increase in fuel over the last number of months since this bill has, you know, since the first option has risen about 45 cents per gallon. And they've laid out $857 million. Where's that $857 million coming from? Where are they going to recoup that? They're obviously just passing it down to the consumers. I think a fourth grader could figure that out.
Yeah, his name was Scott Montgomery. Just came to me, faculty member at UW, and some of his stuff has gotten into some of the media, like King Five, and his top four reasons why the gas is up, none of them had anything to do with carbon legislation. But then when I pressed him on it, then he acquiesced and said, well, it probably is, but we just don't know exactly what, so I don't want to speculate. And it just seemed a little fishy to me, to be honest with you.
Well, I would just refer him over to Todd Myers at the Washington Policy Center, he's an environmental economist. And he's run the numbers, and actually when this bill was being implemented, I think he called the increase in gas within about a penny of what we've seen so far. So whereas the governor was saying, this is just going to be pennies, don't worry about it. Well, Todd Myers actually estimated within a penny of what the actual increase is going to has been so far. So I would just refer them over to his math.
So if your mitigation effort
more accurate.
If you can get some traction on your mitigation effort, and by the way, how many signatures do you need?
Well, I mean, as many as possible. There's no minimum number that I need, but the more signatures that I can gather, the more pressure that I'm able to put onto the Department of Ecology and the executive branch to actually implement some of the changes that the legislature has given them the authority to do. I don't think that this should be controversial. I don't think that it should be partisan. It's literally, the bill says that the Department of Ecology has these levers that they can pull, and I'm just asking them to start pulling them.
Yeah. And what do you suspect, if this goes through, that it could ease our gas prices by what? What do you think?
I don't know. Of the 45 cent increase, I mean, I would be hopeful that we could get it down by about half. But honestly, any decrease is going to be welcomed by Washingtonians every time that they go out and buy gas.
Yeah. Can you not say Washingtonian, Senator? I'm sorry. I have a little bit of reflux action because I hear Governor Inslee in my mind now. Anytime that word is said. Going back to all of his COVID press conferences with his mask on, Washingtonians, oh my gosh. I have like a nightmare of that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put that on you, sir.
I got you. No problem.
Yeah. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek there. let's go. Let's talk here, Senator, about what's really happening in our states, right? The Washington CARES tax that went into effect here just recently. We've got so many property tax initiatives and ordinances and levies. It's just like, is there any coming back from middle class, low income people being able to live in this state, or is the horse just out of the stable and it's just going to keep going just increasingly more expensive? Before you answer that, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Senator Chris Gildon of Peel Up right after this on Live from Seattle. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us today. We're talking to Senator Chris Gildon out of Puyallup, and we've been talking about the incredible carbon legislation that has cost almost 45 cents, and now we have the highest gas in the nation, and talking about just the overall expense of living here in the state of Washington. Seattle Times, they said today that just in the last few years, cost of living in this region, and of course they're talking about in Seattle, and Seattle Times, has gone up 20% just in a couple of years. And when in years before, that took 10 to 12 years to see that kind of increase. What can be done, Senator?
Yeah, well, just to recap a couple of the things, you know, you talk about housing and the increasing cost of housing because our supply is so low. A lot of that has to do with the permitting and the bureaucracy, all of the costs associated with that. We can talk long-term care tax that's taken effect this month that's going to take an additional 58 cents out of every $100 that you earn. We could talk about the cost of daycare, where a lot of people are having to pay more in child care than they pay for their mortgage. And I tell you, a lot of that is directly related to legislation that passed over the last number of years. You know, I just finished off my fifth term, my fifth session in the legislature, and this was the first time in my entire time in the legislature that we had not passed new taxes. But the one thing that we did pass this year, I shouldn't say we, but the Democrat majority passed, was a bill to abolish your advisory votes. I don't know if you remember those. Whenever the legislature passes a tax without a vote of the people, they put it on the advisory ballot, and the people vote yes or no, we approve or we don't approve. Well, over the last few years, the people have voted no 16 of the 19 times that they've been asked. And so I think the Democrats just got tired of getting that feedback from the public. So this year they abolished the advisory ballot. So you're not going to have the chance to give any more feedback to legislators in that area. But one thing that you can do is you can go to leg.wa.gov, leg.wa.gov. Look up who your state representative and state senator is. Call them or shoot them an email and ask them to sign on to the Gildon Letter to Ecology. That will really help us out because we've got to put as much pressure, get as many signatures as we can, and put as much pressure as we can on the executive branch and the Department of Ecology in order to take action that they're authorized to take.
And where can they find that again?
It's LEG, like legislature, leg.wa.gov.
Okay. Yeah, folks, go there, check that out. Tell us about Puyallup. What's happening in your district? What are your concerns? What are the threats? What are the opportunities?
Yeah, I think the Puyallup area is kind of just a microcosm of the entire state, right? Because we've got the urban area, we've got some rural area, we have people of affluence, we've got working people, we've got college students. I mean, it's really just a microcosm of the entire state. I think that our area, especially I'll give props to our police chief, I think that he's done really well weathering all of the storms that the state has thrown at him over the last few years. And economically, I'll give credit to our city council that I think that they've done a fairly good job of managing our taxpayer dollars, and that's what I expect of them to do. But yeah, I think Puyallup's a great place, so come visit us. We've got the fair coming up in September, and love to see you there.
What are your concerns right now when you think of Puyallup and the things that you want to be fighting for? What are the concerns you have?
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest things is just affordability. Go try to find a house for under $475,000 in Puyallup, and you're probably not going to find much. There's not much out there. So I've really been focused. I'm on the housing committee in the Senate and really focused on finding ways to reduce the cost of housing, just to reduce the cost of living overall. I mean, I can't tell you how many people write to me that they're just barely getting by. And yet it seems the legislature wants to continue taking a more and more of a share of their paycheck. And I think we've got to put that into reverse. The budget that we passed this last year was 69.8 billion dollars, and that's just incredible. You know, just a few years ago, not too many years ago, it was about half that. But the rate of growth of state government has just been incredible, and we've got to put the brakes on that, and we've got to show some responsibility. We came out with a budget a couple of years ago while the Democrats were pushing for a number of new taxes. Despite the fact that we had a $15 billion budget surplus, and they pushed them through, most of them. We were able to stop a few. But we put out a budget that fully funded the governor's proposed budget plan. It made zero cuts in state government, and it gave a property tax break to everyone for the first $250,000 of the value of their home. Think how many people that could help out positively. But rather, the Democrat majority decided that they wanted to grow government and pass a number of new taxes and just kind of spread that $15 billion surplus across the state government like peanut butter.
Yeah. You know, there's many here who are saying, you know, the Republican Party in Washington is on the verge of extinction. And what do you think Republicans can do to gain some more traction in the state of Washington right now?
Yeah, well, we're working on that. So one bright spot that I did see this last session is, I'm sure you're well versed in the police pursuit bill and then the Blake bill with the possession of drugs. A couple of years ago, they pushed that through. The progressives in the legislature pushed that through, and we were able to provide so much public attention to those particular issues that this year we actually passed legislation that made moderate steps towards fixing those. And we couldn't have done that without the public support. But and we rolled over a lot of those progressives. As a matter of fact, one bill actually passed with fewer Democrats supporting it than Republicans. So I've never seen a bill pass with just a majority of the minority party, but we're able to do that. And we're able to get a little bit of progress for vehicular pursuit. And what I think is a reasonable solution, if implemented correctly, to our state drug possession laws. I would have liked to have seen it a little bit different, but that's the legislative process. You have to work with everybody, and, you know, bills get drafted and redrafted and changed. But, you know, that to me, that was an indicator that the people of Washington State have kind of had enough and that they are now voicing their displeasure with the way the state's going.
How would you have liked to have seen that drug legislation bill?
Well, you know what, we were kind of fighting. The battle lines were on the far right side. It was, we're accepting nothing but a felony for possession. And on the far left side, it was, we're not accepting any penalty for possession. They just want to legalize drugs. So where we ended up with, we were pushing for a gross misdemeanor. What we ended up with was kind of a hybrid of a misdemeanor, which is a lesser crime. And so it would be punishable on the first and second offense if the person does not complete rehab or substantially comply, as the bill says, with up to 180 days in jail, and on the third with up to 364 days in jail. So it was kind of a hybrid between a misdemeanor and a gross misdemeanor. But you know, there were Republicans that didn't vote for it because they didn't think it was strong enough, because it wasn't a felony. And there are a lot of Democrats who didn't vote for it because it was too strong. So in this case, the middle kind of won out.
Senator, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today on Live from Seattle. This has been Senator Chris Gildon out of Puyallup, and really appreciate you taking the time, Senator.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it a lot. Thank you so much.